With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's amazing how quickly the last 2 hours went. And actually, it's amazing how quickly the last 14 hours went, really 15. But I'll just confess, I missed the first hour of the Rays and the Astros. Though it's being replayed right now on MLB Network, in case you're interested. I could not get out of bed for the first hour. I had to miss the beginning. I know I'm a failure, but after a 16-hour workday Sunday, NFL Sunday into Monday, I needed to sleep a little bit. So I did, and then I flipped on the radio and I listened, and the Rays extended their series against the Astros. An incredible pitching performance from Charlie Morton. We'll talk more about that ALDS, plus the two Game 5s we've got coming up in the National League. Pretty incredible few days in store still in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw the tally that I kept on Monday afternoon and evening on Twitter. I was kind of keeping a running score, if you will, of baseball fans versus the elimination monster, because we could have had all four series end on Monday. I'm really glad we didn't. I think having four series that featured the other team, the team that wasn't leading the series, come back and take a game would have been ideal. But we had three, and we have at least a pair of Game 5s and a potential for a Game 5 if the Rays can win back-to-back against the Astros. So, yeah, I was keeping a running tally. Baseball fans, 1, elimination monster, 0. Baseball fans, 2, elimination, 0. Until we got to the Yankees and their sweep of the Twins, and then the elimination monster got a point. But as baseball fans, we still have the potential for 3 series to go the distance. So we know that we'll get a doubleheader of Game 5s on Wednesday. So that'll be awesome for your hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're going to bring you the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday, our TD of the Week poll. We do that every second show of the week once the NFL weekend has been wrapped up. We're going to reveal your choice for Monday MVP. And we're also taking your thoughts about the Browns and the Niners as well, because I kind of feel like they're tied together, and not just because of what we saw on Monday Night Football. I think they're tied together because the Browns want to be where the Niners are now, and it very well could take a couple years. The Niners were where the Browns are a few seasons ago. I've actually decided I'm going to write part of my weekly column about this because I find this fascinating. You've got a bunch of teams right now that are vying for the title, quote unquote, of worst in the NFL. And no, I'm not suggesting that the Browns are the worst in the NFL, only that it's been a frustrating start for them, as it has been for the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals, the Denver Broncos just getting their first win in week 5. The Washington Redskins just fired their head coach after week 5. The Atlanta Falcons have a defensive head coach and their defense stinks. I mean, there are a bunch of teams that you all told me when I asked you on our last show, this is the worst team in the NFL. No, this is the worst team in the NFL. They're not all in the midst of rebuilding, but a bunch of them have new head coaches or new personnel. And it's hard to build it from the ground up. It's hard to change a culture. And you hear that phrase a lot, but it's true. It's cliche for a reason. Both the Jets and Dolphins have new head coaches as well as new quarterbacks, and they're attempting to change the roster, transform the roster. So they're going through transition. Now, I don't know if the Jets would be 0-4 if they still had Sam Darnold, if he hadn't gotten sick. And he was sick going back to that first game against the Buffalo Bills. Remind me, guys, were they down? They were up 16-0 in that game, 17-0 in that game, and they lost to Buffalo. Was it 16? 16, okay. So that was their season opener. And it hurts even more now that they lost that lead. But Darnold was already not feeling well. And they haven't had him since. And they're not on their backup quarterback with Luke Falk. They're on a guy who was never supposed to see the field. Their practice squad quarterback. When they lost Trevor Siemian, Falk got forced into duty. And so who knows if the Jets might have had a win. The Dolphins, by virtue of the instructions of their owner, they are in full-blown tear-it-down mode because they want to rebuild it. He wanted to get younger. So they're stockpiling draft picks, and Brian Flores is the guy that they want to kind of be in charge of this rebuilding project, but of course he's the bad guy. He's the bad cop, and he just has to be that until they can get to the point where they're ready to compete again. The Bengals also have a new head coach. And their offensive line is hideous. There is a theme with offensive lines, by the way. Cleveland's in the same boat. I'm not a big fan. Washington Redskins, same thing. The Redskins have a quarterback crisis. The Cardinals are breaking in not just a new head coach, but a rookie QB. I mean, there is a common theme here. The Falcons are a weird aberration. Their defense is as porous as Swiss cheese. I don't like Swiss cheese. I like every other cheese, but not Swiss cheese. It's got that many holes in it. But it's kind of a head scratcher. Why are the Falcons this bad? I mean, yes, it's their defense, but why? It's not like Dan Quinn's a newbie. So it's weird. But when we asked you the question, you all gave me multiple candidates, multiple answers for the worst team in the NFL. And I feel as though that was the Niners not that long ago. Under Chip Kelly, they were 2-14. They had a losing record under Jim Tomsula. Poor Jim Tomsula. Where is Jim Tomsula? Will you Google him and see if he's still coaching? He was a lifetime Niner. He'd been in the organization for years. They did him so wrong. It's awful.
He coaches the defensive line for the aforementioned Washington Redskins.
Oh, so it went from bad to worse. Oh, my gosh. He was out of football for a little bit, though, when he got replaced by Chip Kelly. I still despise how they treated poor Jim Tomsula. He was so loyal to the franchise, too. Anyway, I digress. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Browns are not in that same boat as in vying for worst in the NFL. But they certainly have still got issues, and they certainly are still kind of riding this learning curve. They're not there yet. Part of it's Freddie Kitchens. Part of it's Baker Mayfield. As dangerous as he feels, he's still a relatively young QB. Part of it's their run defense. Part of it's their offensive line. I mean, essentially, as Kitchens notes, that's hard to say. I do like the word kitchen, though. As Kitchens notes, there's plenty of blame to go around.
I've got to go back and evaluate it and see where we are, where number-wise. We just got to do a better job coaching it and do a better job executing it. Do a better job lining up and doing a better job of our assignments. And I've got to make sure that we're not asking these guys to do too much.
Okay. Well, he takes all the responsibility on himself. There is a lot to do when you're trying to turn your franchise into a winner. Turn this ship around. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Niners have finally turned the ship. I have to be very careful when I say that. They have finally turned the ship. I'm going to pop the P just so you know. They've finally turned it around. Chris gets really nervous. He has a very quick finger on the dump button. And so if he thinks I'm not saying a word, if I'm saying chip, he might dump me. So the Niners have finally gotten to the point where they believe that they're on the right track. And it's not about their 4-0 mark. It's not about being undefeated. It's about feeling like they have the right formula. And I like that Kyle Shanahan recognizes that.
It means it's still early. It means we've played 4 games, one less than most people. So if you tell me that at the end of the year when the season's over, you'll see me celebrating up here pretty hard. But, you know, it's going to be a short week and got to get to work on the Rams pretty early tomorrow.
And so he's going to take it all in stride because he's been in other organizations where they've started out well. He's also been with the Niners where they started out, what was it, 0-9. Started out 0-9. See? It wasn't that long ago. There's maybe some hope and inspiration for some of these other floundering teams when they look at the Niners. And they waited a long time for their quarterback as well. Not only did they trade for him and then try to have to work him into their offense, but then they go through an offseason, they think he's ready, and he tears his ACL in week number 3. Then he comes back rusty, not so much because of the knee, just because it had been a while. It's like being engaged for 3, 4, 5 years, who knows, but determined to wait for the bride or bridegroom that you believe is the one.
It makes everything easier, you know, especially with our offense. It sets up the play action. It opens up receivers on the outside. Defense has
run,
to start loading the box up and things
run,
like that. So once that starts happening, it's just
run,
everything
Niners,
kind of falls into place.
Run! Yeah, Matt Breida, certainly the best friend of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy was efficient. I wouldn't say he was the next Tom Brady, although right now Tom Brady's offense isn't all that great either. The last, week and a half or so. So Jimmy only had to throw the ball 29 times. He was 20 of 29, 181 yards, a couple of touchdowns. But you hear him compliment the rushing game, 275 yards rushing. If it's not broke, baby, don't fix it. Don't get cute when you have a running game that can go 275 yards. Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida doing most of the damage. Why reinvent the wheel when you got a run game like that? We saw it with the Colts against the Chiefs. If you can run the ball and control the ball, because those two things go together, run the ball effectively, control the ball, well, shouldn't that be the first thing you do? As much as we like the high-flying, acrobatic feats of strength with the NFL's passing games. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook and on Twitter. Just side note, if you send me a tweet or a message with swear words in it, you know I'm not going to read it, right? Brian says on Twitter, the Browns need 2 more seasons to get to the next level. All right, so he's tempering his expectations. Ted on Twitter, in case people forgot, the Browns added skill talent. No line, no backups for the injuries. Inexperienced head coach. I laughed a lot at Browns fans. Oh, well, if you're a sports fan, eventually your time will come. Everybody, every fan base goes through this. Even the New England Patriots, as great as it's been going back to 2001, as a girl who grew up in New Hampshire, I remember going to a Patriots game in the old stadium where there might have been 10 people there. I could hear the drunk guy in the section behind me yelling, "We want Grogan," referring to Steve Grogan, their backup quarterback. The Patriots used to be hideous. They used to be awful. So every fan base goes through this. Every fan base goes through this at some point. So I wouldn't be chortling too hard at those who are hurting right now, Ted, because your time will come. I don't believe in karma, but if I did, I would expect it to come back and bite you in the arse. Let's see. Jordan says tonight showed us the 49ers are back and the Browns are back. It's week 5. Let's take some pause from Kyle Shanahan, who said, hey, it's early. If we're undefeated at the end of the year, then I'll be up here jumping up and down. That would be kind of fun to see. Phil says, rookie head coach looks like a rookie head coach, sadly. It's a learning curve for him, too. Brandon says, Baker Mayfield has 17 NFL starts. He didn't redshirt behind Montana for 4 years. No, he did not. He got Tyrod Taylor for 3 games. We don't know what he's going to be yet. The league has adjusted to him. Now it's his turn. But Brandon finishes in his tweet, what is clear, Kitchens isn't ready for prime time, not yet at the least. Huh. So a lot of you pointing to Freddie Kitchens and not the guys on the field. I mean, I kind of feel like the turnovers on the field are not Freddie Kitchens' fault. Also, it's not always Freddie Kitchens' fault when the team's getting flagged a dozen times either. How is that the head coach's fault? Maybe some lack of preparation, but the Antonio Callaway call at the goal line was brilliant. He was wide open. Baker hit him in the hands, and he didn't catch it. The defense did. Another tweet, they have no veteran leadership on that team. Jason says, my opinion is the same as the beginning of the year. Yes, they can rebound, but right now they look as bad as the Falcons. Something's got to give. Too much talent on either team. And then one more, Terry says, the Browns are horrible. Baker has lousy blocking. He may never adjust to the NFL because of height. I mean, he's not going to get any taller. I'll give you that. So those are your tweets, some of them, A-Law Radio. And then I'll get to your posts on Facebook as well. And if you want to call, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There's a third down for Cleveland. They're 1-for-5 so far. It's a big one. Third and goal to go from the 6. Empty set. Baker throws. Caught. No! Dropped up in the air and intercepted by the 49ers. K'Wan Williams coming back the other way down the sideline. 30, 40, midfield. He'll be dropped on the Cleveland 49-yard line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is Greg Papa on the San Francisco 49ers radio network. The Niners D simply had Baker Mayfield's number and really dominated this entire game on Monday night, allowing just 180 yards, have a major advantage in time of possession. And so the defense was fresh for San Francisco when it was out there on the field, allowing the pursuit, and I mean the hot pursuit, 4 sacks, 8 more quarterback hits, 4 turnovers. Nick Bosa, was this potentially his notice to the rest of the NFL on Monday Night Football, the national stage, that he is a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year? Here's something really quick before I get to your calls and tweets and Facebook posts. The Matt Breida touchdown run, 83 yards, first touch for the San Francisco offense. Did you see when Breida is scampering down the field? He turns to wave, and I've noticed that now with a bunch of guys. I don't think I like the waving thing. Just wait till some guy drops the ball. It's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. Human beings are not real good at doing two things at once. So yeah, the wave thing has become kind of popular. I don't think I like it. It's not so much that I'm old school. I just don't think you need to be taunting before you're in the end zone. How about don't showboat until you get across the goal line? Call me crazy. Just wait. Somebody's going to drop the ball while they're waving or try to transfer the ball to their arm. It's going to fall right on the ground. And I'm going to laugh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, pretty impressive, their run game, but also Greg Kittle. Pretty impressive, the blocking that he does on the line and the way that he can slip the defense. And I mean, he's a major weapon as well for Jimmy Garoppolo. Only special teams weren't special for San Francisco. You notice that on Monday night? Maybe it got lost in how lopsided this performance was in them picking up their fourth win and staying undefeated. But Robbie Gould was a bit of a mess. And I know he missed a couple of long field goals, but also there was a punt blocked in there. That's not on Gould, but there was a punt block, and yeah, it was not special teams. But if that's your biggest worry in a win, remember they won before the bye with 5 turnovers? Heavens. It's not like they're doing it perfectly, but a win is a win is a win is a win. Let's talk to Brian, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. You know, it's kind of strange to say this tonight, but normally, being from Baltimore, I would be extraordinarily happy that we're in first place ahead of the Browns and the rest of the division. But I can't really say that because after what the Browns did to us and then to see what San Francisco did to them, it's kind of disturbing is the best word I can use for it. I mean, you know, I'm thinking we're number one in the division now, but to lose like we did, and then to see the Browns turn around and lose like they did, it makes you start to think.
Well, yeah, it's not that simple. I mean, you don't judge a team by who they beat and who they lost to. I mean, sometimes it's matchups. Sometimes it's teams have a bad day. I mean, I would expect that the Browns aren't going to be this bad, or Baker Mayfield's not going to be this bad the rest of the way. That certainly was a game in which the Baltimore defense gave up a lot of yards, and that has been a trend. So I wouldn't worry so much about the fact that they lost to the Browns, who then lost to the Niners. I think what I would worry about more is the fact that in the last couple weeks, the Ravens defense has been bad. So 193 yards rushing, that's what Cleveland had against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago. And the Browns, as a whole, racked up 530 yards, and they were pretty much able to do whatever they wanted on offense. And so we saw some of that, and I know that they beat the Steelers, I get it, but we saw some of that with the Steelers as well. We're talking about a backup quarterback and then Mason Rudolph getting knocked out of the game, but they still were able to operate offensively, and then the Ravens gave them too many opportunities with the turnovers. So yeah, I think the Ravens defense has got some issues that needs to clean up, but it's way too early in the season to start measuring a team based on, you know, what they did against another team, because this early in the season, there's a lot of inconsistency still.
Of course, it's unfortunately we have three of our best defensive players out, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But I'll let you go, but I want to petition the NFL to make the field goal 6 points instead of three.
Whoa, why, Brian?
Because we have Justin Tucker, that's why.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's a good argument. But I do love Justin Tucker. He's awesome.
I'm just throwing it out there. You take care, Amy. I love you.
Thanks, Brian. I mean, Justin Tucker is as close to automatic as you can be, although they were talking about that with Robbie Gould, and then he steps up and misses two field goals. I don't believe in jinxes. So, yeah, Justin Tucker's pretty fantastic. But even John Harbaugh at times prefers to go for two as opposed to using his incredible kicker. I don't know that Tucker needs to do any more auditioning. I think he's pretty much earned his keep and proved his worth. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On Facebook, some of you weighing in. How do you feel about the Browns now? Is it the same way you felt about them before they kicked off the season? Guy says on Facebook, it's simply the wrong coach. Interesting. Interesting how many of you are pointing to Freddie Kitchens as the issue. The issue? Well, I don't even know what that word. That is not a word. Machu Picchu? Pokemon? Isn't there like a character in Pokemon that's
Pikachu?
Pikachu. See, my nieces loved Pikachu. I don't know where issue. It's just because we've all worked some really long hours the last couple of days. So the issue is not so singular that you can point to the head coach. I would agree with you that he is learning how to be a head coach. And the first week, I railed against their lack of discipline. It was embarrassing how undisciplined they were. And what was it, 18 penalties in their season opener? It was awful. And a lot of that's on the head coach. However, the head coach isn't out there throwing interceptions. The head coach isn't out there not blocking for Baker Mayfield. The head coach isn't out there making dumb decisions, refusing to get rid of the football, always rolling to the right. I mean, that's not the head coach. The players are still responsible for the execution or the lack thereof. So there's plenty of blame to go around, to be sure. Randy says on Facebook, my beloved Cleveland Browns, you got to lose to know how to win. Yeah. I mean, they've done their fair share of losing so far. Ken says, I am a diehard Browns fan for years, more than the 20 that they've been back, meaning that their rebirth of the franchise in 1999. He says this team is way way, that's his word, overrated. When you tell me someone's overrated in the NFL, what the hell does that mean? Who rates the NFL? This is not a college football playoff committee. I honestly don't know what you mean when you say they're overrated or they're overranked. Like, what does that mean? Who rates them? No one rates the NFL. You are what your record says you are. So I honestly don't get that. I think about it and I can't figure out what you mean. If they don't fix this line, Baker is going to fall into the Tim Couch syndrome. Ooh. He says, I think Couch could have been a good QB if he'd had a good O-line. I mean, and I could be Miss America if I looked more like Miss America. Okay, so Ken is a diehard Browns fan, but, you know, he's kind of tempered in his enthusiasm. Scott says on Facebook, I'm almost dizzy from the wild swings in the Browns season so far. Anyway. And Zach, of course, wants to blame the media for overhyping the Browns. Yeah, right. It wasn't Freddie Kitchens who said, if you don't wear brown and gold, you don't matter. Or Baker Mayfield, who's been daring people to underestimate them for months now. Yeah, no, it's the damn media. Always the media.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I need a hero. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
Jacksonville with four to rush in. And they come hard. Allen pumps once. Now goes over the middle. McCaffrey to the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Carolina Panthers. McCaffrey hands the ball to a fan in the left corner of the end zone.
First and 10, Panthers. Backed up deep. Handoff up the middle. McCaffrey running free. Unbelievable. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 across midfield. Can someone drag him down? 20 to the 15, the 10, the 5. McCaffrey takes it home.
It's cool when you see, you know, guys have to step up constantly, you know, because injury or whatnot, and they go out there and play the way that they did today. So it's a lot of fun, and, you know, all goes to those guys.
That's Christian McCaffrey following another huge performance from him. He's turned himself into an MVP candidate through the first 5 weeks of the NFL season. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at the one who got it done. And this week, it is the running back for the Panthers. Your choice for Monday MVP. On the ground, 176 rushing yards for McCaffrey. The up and over, the somersault into the end zone. One of his two touchdowns. He also had a receiving touchdown, another 61 yards through the air. And this is with Kyle Allen as the quarterback. So no doubt McCaffrey is his best friend right now. Similar to, say, to Alvin Kamara with Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans without Drew Brees. So already 587 rushing yards for McCaffrey, half dozen touchdowns on the ground. And he's really been the dynamic guy that we've seen, even going back to when he first broke into the NFL. Questions about his size, about his durability, and yet he takes that pounding, he gets back up. In fact, sometimes he does it to himself. I think he likes the contact. So Christian McCaffrey, the Panthers have won three consecutive games, and he is your choice for Monday MVP. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Always good to hear from you, whether it's on the phones, 855-212-4227, whether it's via Facebook, named after the show, whether it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and all of our polls originate from our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Very soon we'll have our Touchdown Tuesday poll up ready for you. It's a good mix of professional baseball and professional football on Monday. And so it's kind of something for everyone if you are a fan. With the drama added, because all four of the baseball games were potential elimination games, but only one of them actually ended. So top of the hour, we'll get back to Major League Baseball. And one of my themes here on After Hours, going back to when I first started the show, is that old guys rock. And by that, I don't mean old in age. I mean old in terms of wisdom and experience and how long they've been in their respective sports. And certainly, when you get to be in your mid-30s, if you're still standing in professional sports, well, then you deserve the credit for longevity, for durability, for mentally and physically being able to morph and change and grow and develop and stay relevant. Because there are young guys who are coming along trying to chase your job, your position, and try to boot you right on out, make you irrelevant. And yet we had a couple of incredible moments for Yadier Molina at 37 years old, a lifetime Cardinal, and Ryan Zimmerman, an original Nat. He literally is an original member of the Nationals from when they moved from Montreal, going back to 2005. And now here he is, his entire career in D.C., and he has that incredible signature playoff moment as well. So both of our National League Division Series are going to Game 5s. We'll get to all the fun stuff from Monday on the Diamond after the update at the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, 855-212-4227. We're asking you on social media, how do you feel about the Browns now? Whether good or bad, it's fine if you still believe that this is a team that's going to make the playoffs. I'm asking whether or not your opinion of them has changed after the first 5 weeks of the season. Let's talk to Brian, who's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? I hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you.
Here's something on my mind. Everyone's talking about the Brown game. And yeah, it was a blowout over, you know, Mayfield's this and that. But let's talk about the Ravens-Steeler game for a minute. Because to me, a quarterback stat that's getting overrated, as you said, I know you hate that word, is Lamar.
No, I just don't know what it means. Who's rating him?
Well, but to me, it's Lamar Jackson. All the Raven fans are hyping this quarterback up to be something that I didn't see Sunday. 70 yards rushing. Okay, I'll give him that. He's got some feet. But what happens when the linebackers steal that edge? Sooner or later, he's going to have to learn how to pass. Him running has gotten him his name so far. But
have you not? You know, people are figuring out. Have you only seen that one game on Sunday? I mean, Lamar Jackson's been passing just fine this season.
In that game, but I'm just saying that, you know, sooner or later, Lamar's not going to be able to run. They're going to figure out how to stop
that. You're not listening then. I said, have you seen other games with the Ravens this year? Lamar Jackson, especially to start out the first couple of games of the year, he was pass first. I mean, he's not supposed to be their feature back. Yes, he still has the ability to create and to scramble and to run. And I know he had some interceptions this past weekend, but he's been passing first. I mean, he's been passing just fine. Thus the joke, oh, pretty good for a running back.
That's what he is to me. Like I said, I don't have the stats in front of me, but like I said, I'm not impressed with his passing numbers. I'm really not. And nobody's really talking about that
because he's been fine, Brian. He's been fine. You said you don't have your numbers in front of you. You said that you haven't paid as much attention. He has been a passing quarterback. He's been just fine. I mean, in fact, he's been better than average to start the year, the first couple of games. He was fantastic as a pocket passer.
Now, can I ask you another question real quick?
You haven't really asked me one at all, but okay.
Oh, okay. Now, when it comes down to it, though, oh, wait a minute. I'm about to hit a dead zone.
Okay, bye. That was weird. Basil is in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Are you in a dead zone?
No, I'm not in a dead zone. I'm a driver, and I'm primarily from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I guess that's where people would know I'm from, but I'm actually from the Menominee Indian Reservation, which is close to Green Bay. And before Green Bay was called Green Bay, mm-hmm. That's where we resided.
Okay.
All right. So, long-time listener, I never really called because, you know what, I agree with most everything you got to say.
Well, that's kind of boring.
You know what, it's great for me because I love somebody who's on, you know, who makes sense to me, you know. And but there's something that you keep saying is it's about the record. Somebody's NFL records, let's say, or any record. you know, no, your record
only
is,
pro sports. Record, oh, wait, well, really, just a clarification. Only pro sports. In college sports, it's not that way because let's take March Madness, for instance. You have to be chosen to make it into the field of 64. Same thing with college football. You have to be chosen by a committee. So your record very often isn't the only thing that matters. But when it comes to pro sports, you either make the playoffs or you don't based on your record. You are what your record says you are.
You are what your record says you are. And you know what? Could be too early in the season for some people to be talking about your record is what it represents. Because the Patriots, you know, I'm a Green Bay fan, you know, and, you know, I respect the Patriots, but, you know, I don't like them. I can respect somebody but not like them. The Patriots, they haven't played any playoff caliber type of team this year at all. So how can we put them and keep talking about them? And you know, and I
because they're 5-0. Because they're 5-0. Same thing as the Green Bay Packers are 4-1. Doesn't matter who you've played. You are 5-0 because you've won 5 games. So that's kind of my point. And I'm not yelling at you. I just get fired up about this. They can't choose who they play. Maybe they haven't been tested as much. Though when they played the Bills were also undefeated, and the Bills have a really tough defense, and they won that game despite the fact that it was a defense that made the Tom Brady offense look bad. Okay, so they've had some challenges, they've had to overcome them, but they still are a 5-0 team. It doesn't matter who they've played. That's my point about professional sports. You are what your record says you are. They are 5-0. I haven't said they're going to win the Super Bowl just because they're 5-0, and I don't think that that is anything more than being 5-0, but they've won every game that they've faced, so I don't know how you can say anything different about the Patriots.
Well, look at their upcoming record. I mean,
no, not their record, their upcoming schedule. Yeah, you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, their upcoming schedule. Look at their upcoming schedule, and that's what I was saying. And you know what? I agree with you. I understand what you're saying, but some people have an easier road to the playoffs. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about some teams have an easier road than others.
Yeah, because of their division. I get it. I understand what you're saying. As a Packers fan, I guess I shouldn't assume that, but most in Wisconsin are. In fact, all of my family in Wisconsin is. The fact is that the NFC North is the toughest division in football right now. All the teams are above 500. But that's not the Patriots' fault. Well, I mean, they're not going to move out of the AFC East. This is the division they belong in. If you don't want them to be on top of the division, then beat them. Knock them off the top of the division. That's what professional sports is all about. Everybody's got the same opportunities, the same salary cap in football. Everybody starts in the same place. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Their schedule may not have been the toughest, but it doesn't matter. They're still 5-0. And at the end of the year, no one's going to look at the Patriots and say, you know what, maybe they shouldn't be the top seed or win the division because they played weaker opponents. I mean, that's not how it works in pro sports. You are what your record says you are, Basil. And I appreciate your phone call. I understand exactly what you're saying, and the schedule will get tougher for the Patriots, and they will be tested. No team starts out ready to win the Super Bowl in week one or even in the first month. But the Patriots have faced every challenge that they have been handed to this point, and they've won every game. I mean, same thing with the Niners. They're undefeated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.